My name is Sarah Pasquale. I'm the Minister of Spiritual Formation here at Resonate. And today really is a day about remembering. In the past, on Memorial Day weekend, we've done church outside on this Sunday to remember kind of where we come from. The sort of Feast of Booths where Israel, even to this day, will spend some time living outside under like shelters that they built to remember the years that they were wandering in the desert. We're not meeting outside this week, you're welcome. But we do want to pause and remember where God has brought us over the years, to remember what God has done. I spent some time this week reflecting on Resonate's almost 15 years as a church. Think back to the really early days of evening gatherings in homes and various churches throughout the city, basically whoever would have us in their space. And then we formally launched as a church in 2012, meeting at Toomer Elementary in Kirkwood for a little bit of time, until we signed a lease at an old dance studio in Decatur, which you can see on the screen. During that time, who all was there for that? Who was in the dance studio? Yeah? Elliot was there for all of it, along with us. So we had this one-room dance studio where we would meet for church, and then you would walk down this little hallway in an office building into a taekwondo studio, which was also one room, and it had padded blue floors, and that's where we did our entire kids' ministry. So we outgrew that space and wanted a place that was a better fit. So in 2016, we moved to Sam Street. We upgraded to actual classrooms for our kids. Ministry and an entire building rather than just one room in an office park. So I picked this picture because you can still see people on the stage here who are on the stage today. Trey Bowden with his one arm in the air. And Alan Hutchinson, I can't tell what he's playing there. Maybe the same instrument that he was playing, but it's pretty cool to see all that history. Who all was here in Sam Street? Checked us out, yeah? And then we continued to grow. While we were there, we moved to two services. And it was right around that time that we found out that the people who owned our property were planning to sell the building. So we started looking for a place to buy. We found this space here, which at the time was a giant furniture store. And we were in the process of securing the loan when the pandemic hit. And I can't tell you how many lenders I spoke to on the phone who used the phrase unprecedented times with me when telling us they wouldn't lend us money. But eventually we found a lender. We closed on the property in 2021, and we started construction on the building. Here we are praying through the building. This column is this column right here that you can see in the picture, so it looks a little different now. If you feel like we're still like kind of rough around the edges, just remember those days. We put all of our, at the same time we moved out of our Sam Street location, and we put all of our belongings in these giant metal shipping containers that we had stored in the courtyard. And we tried a bunch of different meeting options during that time because we were navigating concerns with the pandemic. So we did some stuff online. That was our beautiful kids ministry. And then also we didn't have a building we could meet in. So for a little while, we gathered on Tuesday nights at Clarkston International Bible Church. Did anyone come to that? A couple of you. Yeah, it wasn't very well attended. Tuesday nights in Clarkston during the pandemic. But we would record our services and then live stream it on Sunday. After that, we moved to outdoor church in the courtyard for a while, which we probably all remember. Raise your hand if you were there for that. Sunburns, stepping on broken glass, last minute cancellations because of rain, angering neighbors with early morning band practice. It was quite an adventure. A lot to manage, so we jumped on the opportunity to move into a building at Decatur Heights Church while we waited for what felt like an eternity for this project to be finished. We met for almost 6 months in their gymnasium. Gymnasium. What is that? I'm afraid to say. Thank you. It's so good the kids are here to help me today. Who was there at Decatur Heights? All right, when you walked in the building, what do you remember smelling? Gas. Yeah, it smelled like gas, and then if you were in there by yourself or it got real quiet and you listened closely, you could hear all the rats running through the rafters. In fact, shortly after we moved out, the fire inspector locked up the building for fire code violations. So we are praising the Lord that May 1st, 2022, we moved into this building. We had certificate of occupancy, and here we are. What a gift. It's only been 4 years. Maybe it feels like a lifetime. Maybe it feels like a little blip. But this is a day to remember what God has done. And I know that the church is not a building. It's a people. But where we have met as a people has been part of our story. And so that's why we are here today, remembering what God has done. Because it's easy, isn't it, to forget everything he's done? Not just at Resonate, but in our own lives, these answered prayers, the mountaintop encounters, are so easily dismissed when things get hard or they become more distant in the past. We are a forgetful people, which is why the Bible is filled with commands to remember. So today we want to talk about how to remember what God has done. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's earlier on in the Bible. And I am going to pray for us, and then after that I'm going to read it, and we are going to bring back question and response time. So as we read it, be thinking of what questions or noticings you have. But let's begin just by praying before we jump into God's word. God, give us hearts that remember you. We even just pause for a moment and acknowledge that you are here in this space. You are with us, and you are stirring in us a hunger for your name, a hunger for your glory, a hunger to know you more. Will you help us to engage with your word and be transformed by it today? Not just for information, but for transformation. We want to know you, and we want to see you, and we want to be like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to read verses 4-9. And like I said, read along with me, and then we'll have a couple people with microphones. So if you have questions or things that you notice that you want to share with the group about, we'll do that in a moment. Verse 4. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. So what do you notice? What questions do you have? What kind of things stand out to you when you look? If you have a thought, just raise your hand and someone will come to you with a microphone. Chelsea.
Hello? Is a simple question, but what's the significance of saying that the Lord is one as opposed to what?
Yeah, we'll get to that in the message a little bit, but it's this idea that the Lord is the only God. So something that's Christians are monotheistic. That means we worship one God. But there's a couple other beliefs about what God was like, the other gods at this time. Either people were polytheistic and they worshiped a lot of gods, but we only believe in one God. I'm not explaining this very well. Or some people believe that there were lots of gods and our God that we serve is the best one. And so this idea that Moses is driving home is you have one God to serve and one God alone. You don't choose your favorite God of all these little gods. You just have the one. What else? Andy. Bianca.
Oh, sorry.
I know there's a really cute baby back there, isn't there?
Hey, thanks. It's not really a question. I think just these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. I mean, I think that's kind of, we talk about that, right? Like what's in your heart. And you know, when you sin and you ask for forgiveness, and it's really, it's not what you portray on the outside and how you act and do those things. It's what you're really feeling in your heart. And that's what God knows what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody else kind of knows what you perceive or you want people to perceive you to be, but God truly knows what's in your heart. And I think that really kind of speaks to that. So
that's good. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, if you're doing the two-year Bible reading plan with us, we've been in 1 Samuel, and you remember reading in the beginning of 1 Samuel where God says, I look at the heart. You all look at the outer appearance, but I look at the heart. I've got another one. Yes, Sarah.
I'm interested to hear why they differentiate or why they ask you to
love him with three parts, with your heart, your soul, and your strength, and what that means to do it in each of those ways.
Yeah. We'll jump into that a little bit in the sermon, in the message, but the thing here is that this worship of God, it's a whole life. It's a whole body. Jesus says it in Mark 12. He talks about your mind as well, which is kind of combined with this idea of soul. And then this word strength, actually, in the Hebrew just means very, or your muchness. So love God with your very, or with the muchness, every single part of you, an all-consuming worship. Good questions. Good comments, you guys. All right. Well, let's move ahead. So in order for what to remember what God has done, I've got 3 points for us today. We need to listen to God, to love God, and to live for God. And the good news is that because it's Generation Sunday, we have motions for you today. Okay, so kids, I need you to listen up and watch me and help all the grown-ups not feel too embarrassed to do these emotions either as well. So first, listen to God. We're going to do listen to God. This is American Sign Language for listening. Good. Okay. Love God. Love God. And then live for God. This one has emotion with it. So you kind of make a thumbs up and move it up. Live for God. Okay, let's do it together. Listen to God. Love God. Live for God. Good. Okay, now kids in the room, help lead us in this. Okay, anytime I say these words, let's do the motions. I might remember to do it with you. I might forget, but you can help us, okay? So something kind of neat about this text that we're looking at today is that we're learning to listen to God, to love God, and to live for God. And this prayer that we looked at actually has a special name. Does anyone know what this special name is? Shout it out if you know it. Shema, yeah, say Shema. Shema. Okay, so first of all, you've already spoken 3 languages today, everybody. Good job. English, we've spoken ASL, American Sign Language, and you just spoke Hebrew. Shema. And it's the word which means listen or hear. And this prayer is prayed by devout Jews twice a day, even to today. So the first instruction, verses 4-5, listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, this passage probably sounds familiar to you if you've read the Bible or heard much about the Bible, because we find it to be one of the most significant passages in all of Scripture, and Jesus actually calls it the greatest commandment in Mark chapter 12. The first thing he says, though, is listen, Shema, Israel. Moses is saying, listen up, family, what I'm about to tell you matters. It's important. But this idea of listen, it means more than just hear. It means listen and obey. Listen and respond. Now, we all know the difference between hearing and listening, right? I see this with my own kids in the morning rush on the way to school. They hear my voice, but they don't always respond until I say, why aren't you listening to me? Not that I do that every week, but I do that every once in a while. Until their shoes are on and until their backpacks are on their back, they haven't truly listened. This is what the Shema means. To listen is to hear and to respond, to hear and obey. So Moses is telling us, listen, listen. And these are the words he wants the people to hear and respond to. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So first, I just want you to notice for a minute this word, our. The Lord our God. This is an expression of mutual belonging. God isn't just a distant deity. He belongs to us. And we belong to him. And that's not something to take for granted. Not every religion gets to say this, but God identifies himself with us. And we can identify ourselves with him. And then he declares, the Lord is one, or other translations say, the Lord alone. So here we have Israel in the wilderness, and on one side of them is the promised land, Canaan. They're about to go in here. And on the other side is Egypt, the place they came from. Both of these places are polytheistic. I just talked about that word a minute ago. It means they worshiped many, many gods. They had a god for everything. But Moses is drawing a line here. He's saying, the Lord alone, the Lord alone. This God, this Yahweh, he demands an exclusive allegiance. We worship one God alone. Don't just make him your favorite God of a whole bunch of gods, your only God. Listen, God is your only God. And then he says, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I think it's interesting here that the primary command is to love the Lord your God, not obey the Lord your God, not think about the Lord your God, not act in some kind of way for the Lord your God. It's love the Lord your God. And this takes us back again to the good news of God being a God who desires communion and relationship with us. He's not a dictator high up in the sky doing whatever he wants for his own whims and comforts, but he is a God who invites us into a loving relationship with himself. This is who our God is. He is a God of love who desires a loving relationship with us. Our God is love. This God of Deuteronomy is love. And then we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with our soul, and with our strength. So this is to be an all-consuming affection, a love of every single part of you, your heart, your soul, your mind, with every ounce of your strength and being. This love that we have for God, it's a love of feeling and a love of thinking. It's a love of being, and it's a love of your entire life. Here at Resonate, we love studying the Bible deeply. We get so jazzed about historical context and word studies and theologies, all of it. And that's a gift. Careful study of the Word of God helps us to understand Scripture faithfully and helps us to see its richness more clearly. But the goal of Scripture isn't just information. It's not just knowing something. It's transformation. The point of studying Scripture isn't just to know more facts about God, but to know God more deeply and to become like him. Think about falling in love, or even just getting to know a new friend who you feel a real close connection with. You really relish each nugget of insight that they share with you, the moments you have together, every little piece of information you glean from them, because it informs your actions and it informs how you interact with them in relationship. Knowledge without encounter or response or affection, that's not what God invites us into, you guys. That's not where joy is. That's not where freedom is. The purpose of loving God is a transformed life in your mind, with stirred affections for God, with a focus toward loving God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength, with all of your very muchness. So here we have these two verses as the Shema, the prayer that's still prayed by faithful Jews every day, the commandment that Jesus calls the greatest commandment, and it's a command to listen to God and respond, listen and obey, and to love God with our heart and with our soul and with our strength. And this instruction to listen and love reveals what humanity was created for relationship with God. But as we practice it, as we do it, it also exposes something else. It exposes our inability to do this fully. And that's exactly why we need Jesus. As Christians, this is pretty cool. We look at this commandment through the lens of Jesus Christ, through his life and his death and his resurrection. Because the honest truth, you guys, is that our own devotion and our own obedience, our own listening and our own loving, it's always going to fall short. We're never going to do it perfectly. But Jesus lived out the Shema perfectly. Loving the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength. He did it fully, and he did it on our behalf. Through Jesus Christ's perfect obedience, we are freed. We don't have to strive to earn God's favor anymore, but we are invited into a genuine, loving relationship with him. And when we grasp and when we sit with the weight of that sacrifice, and the Holy Spirit moves and lives with inside of us, we're going to be changed. It changes us. And suddenly you find yourself not trying to obey God out of obligation, but out of affection. You are stirred to love. Your affection for God begins to grow. It doesn't mean we won't always wrestle with the flesh and desire things that are not of God. That's the nature of humanity before we see Jesus face to face. But your love for God will grow as you continue to dwell on him and focus on him. But maybe this truth that I'm saying, maybe it's not personal for you yet. Maybe you find it hard to love God, or it feels a little bit scary or a little bit overwhelming to take this leap to love and worship God alone. I want to invite you to be honest with yourself about this thought, this feeling. Make a list. You can make it in your mind. You can write it down. Make a list of what the trade-off is. What does it require? What do you have to let go of to follow God with your heart and with your soul and with your strength? Is it releasing status or your reputation? An easy life? Is it releasing your doubts, knowing that there is a component of faith that we will always carry with us as we trust God? Is it relationships? Is it money? Confess those fears to God and ask him to help you in your unbelief. Ask him to show you and to help you believe that following Jesus is better than all these other things. And he will. He will, you guys, because knowing and trusting Jesus is worth trading everything for. Knowing and trusting Jesus is worth trading everything for. Okay, so we've received the instructions to listen to God, meaning to hear and obey. And we've received the instructions to love God with every single part of who we are. And now we're going to look at what it means to live for God. Yes. These words that I am giving you today, this is verse 6, are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. So now we get into the how of doing this. How do we remember God? Well, the first thing he says is these words shall be on your heart. Now these words, this centers around scripture and the Bible. You cannot love what you do not know. You cannot love what you do not know. Now, in the case of Moses here, he's talking about the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That's what they had, the instructions given for Israel. But for us, we get the whole thing. We get the entirety of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And the words of the Bible are to be on our hearts, and they're to be in our minds. They're to be deep, deep within us. A life with the Word of God on your heart means that it becomes the air you breathe. The Word of God truly becomes your daily bread. It becomes the focus of your thoughts and your attention and your energy. Dallas Willard, in his book Life Without Lack, says that the best way to get God's Word on your heart is through memorization. You can read along with me his quote on the screen. Memorization, he says, is a primary way we fill our minds with the Word of God and have our thoughts formed by God's thoughts. Memorizing Scripture is even more important than a daily quiet time. For as we fill our minds with the great passages and have them readily available for our meditation, quiet time takes over the entirety of our lives. Memorization enables us to keep God and His truth constantly before our minds, allowing his word and wisdom to help us. Can you imagine that? This idea of quiet time taking over the entirety of your life, your sleeping and your waking. I want to encourage you guys, pick a Bible verse. Pick this Bible verse. Pick the Shema and commit it to memory. Write it on a note card and carry it around with you and pull it out and look at it instead of scrolling on your phone when you're waiting in line or something. Or devote time in the morning or in the evening or on your lunch break just to memorizing Scripture. Download an app that helps you do it. You can find time for this. You can. My current refrain right now is Isaiah 41:13. I came upon it on a silent retreat a few weeks ago, and I can't get it out of my head. I recite it every night as I fall asleep, and if I'm up in the middle of the night, or if I'm stuck on a decision or just trying to recenter myself on the Lord, I go back to this verse. It says, "For I am the Lord your God. I will hold your right hand. Do not fear, for I will help you." That is a good thing to be on my mind. It is a necessary thing for me to dwell on right now. What's the necessary truth for you right now? What needs to be on your mind and heart? What needs to be going through your mind as you fall asleep or as you wake up in the morning? As you memorize scripture and as you take it into you, it will change you. And it'll change you from the inside out. And then we move on to what happens when we listen to God, when we love God, and when we have his word on our heart. Verse 7, "Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So here we move from an internal love and command to an external expression of love. This is how we live it out. This is how we live it out. Because we don't just think devotion for God, and we don't just feel devotion for God, but our complete obsession and devotion to God will result in change through our words and through our deeds, through our actions. When you love something and you're engaged with it, you will think about it and talk about it to others, and you won't be able to help it. What's the thing in your life that everybody knows you love and that you are committed to? What's the thing that you've become an evangelist for, whether intentionally or unintentionally? For me, there's a few things because I talk a lot, but I think the things that kind of like rise to the surface, if you've talked to me, you know that I love birds. You know that I love wearing wool clothes. You know that I love Dr. Oakley, Yukon Vet, one of the best shows on TV. Thank you very much. Has anyone seen it? So I'm probably the only one. It's really, just saying. And you know that I think that every stranger is a future friend, and they probably have something neat to tell me. For you, the thing you're an evangelist for, it might be Atlanta United. It might be clean eating. It might be K-pop. It might be Minecraft. It might be sustainable living. It might be AI. It might be Pokemon. Is that what you just said? You name it. But here's the deal, you guys. We're all evangelizing something, right? We're all probably evangelists for multiple things. But where does Jesus fit into that? Does he consume your thoughts in such a way that conversation about him also spills out of you? Is it as easy for you to talk about Jesus as it is to talk about your favorite TV show or video game or book or whatever you're into? Basically, what I'm saying is that our thoughts and our actions are indicators of what is discipling us, which directly results in how we disciple others. So what is it for you? What's discipling you? And who are you discipling? And who and what are you discipling them toward? Now, the instruction here in this text is specifically to speak these commands of God to children in the community. Now, if you're a parent, you do carry the primary responsibility of teaching the Word of God to your kids. This means that as you teach them to tie their shoes or get dressed or add fractions, you also will teach them to listen to God, to love God with their heart, soul, and strength, and to live for God in all that they do. And this instruction also reminds us that discipleship isn't simply formal. It's our eating and our breathing, our sleeping and our waking, our coming and our going. It's how we live, the actions that those around us, including our children, observe. Discipleship isn't just something that happens across a table at a coffee shop. It is everything we do. And probably we know better through kids that they mimic our actions, for better or for worse. They learn your phrases and they repeat them, or they learn your disposition and they act it out. Because we become what we behold. We become what we behold. What are you beholding? And who are you discipling? And what are you discipling them toward? How are we teaching others to live for God. There's a couple simple things for us to do here. The first is that we talk about it. We talk about the gospel. Talk about the gospel when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Look at verse 7 here. Every moment is an opportunity to speak of God and his word and what he's done. Because here's the deal. We are a fickle and we are an easily distracted people. God knows this. We know it. For us to maintain faithfulness to God, to love him with our heart and our soul and our strength, he must consume our thoughts at all times. We must look for and find opportunities to speak the truths of God over others and also over ourselves. This is why the New Testament commands us to do things like pray continually and take every thought captive and encourage one another every day. We are to repeat these commands, to talk about the word of God, to be consumed by scripture in our coming and our going, our eating and our drinking, our waking and our sleeping. We're to talk about it. And then we need physical reminders of the presence of God. Verse 8 says, bind them as a sign on your hands. Let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. Now, the ancient Jews took this literally, believing that wearing the scriptures on their bodies, on their arms or their heads, actually warded off evil. Now, I'm not encouraging you to literally wear boxes on your arms and heads, though some of us have carved it on our arms with a tattoo gun. But engage in practices that help you remember God in what you see and what you do. As you look at people, creation, the rest of God's world, let it remind you of God. God is always speaking. He is always speaking. Do you believe that? God is always speaking, and you can listen to him. But that requires clearing our minds of other noise that's trying to form us and conform us into the world around us. Looking back to this passage of scripture, we're reminded of three things. Do the motions with me. Listen to God, love God, live for God. You guys, I encourage you to do this because this is where the joy is. The commands of God are not burdensome. This is where the freedom and the life is. If you want peace that transcends understanding, this is the pathway to it. But you have to commit to it. It's not easy. Commit to it for yourself and for those around you. There's a few simple things you can do. This is for all ages. Ways to start to listen to God, to love God, and live for God. First, read your Bible. Read it every day. Figure out what it says and means. You're not going to remember to think about what's true and honorable and pure and lovely if you're not in Philippians 4. You're not going to remember that you don't have to be anxious if you're not in Matthew 6. You can't speak or dwell on what you don't know. Join us in our 2-year Bible reading plan. It's less than 10 minutes of reading a day. Or you can even listen to it if you want to. Resonate is happy to give you an account in the Dwell Bible app. There's the link right there. You can get a free account to listen to scripture. Read your Bible. Secondly, memorize the Bible. Allow it to become part of you in such a way that all of your moments are spent dwelling on the things of God, the truths of God, and that they become the words that spill out of you when you think and when you speak and when you pray. There's life in this book. There's life in this book, and it will change you and it will change others. And then make Jesus the beginning and the end of your day. Just go to sleep at night telling Jesus you love him and wake up in the morning and tell Jesus you love him. Use the prayer guide I talked about a couple weeks ago that's in your seat backs to help guide you in that. But let your first thought of every day and your last thought of every day be of a God who loves you, who's covenanted to you in love more than you can even imagine. And then find God everywhere. Look for God in the sunrise. Pray for people on your commute. Thank him for the provision he is as you eat your meals, our daily bread. Now, this takes practice, it takes discipline, but we can be a people who remember that all the world around us is a reminder of the sovereignty and eternal goodness of our great God, because it's there. He is always speaking. And then lastly, tell people about God. Talk about him. One of our core values here at Resonate is that everyone is sent. Every one of you are sent on mission. This means sharing the goodness of God with those around you. It means offering to pray for people and actually praying for them. And listen, I know this can be difficult. Not everyone thinks that strangers are future friends like I do. But I also want you to get over the tension and discomfort you feel with sharing the gospel. I think sometimes as Christians, we think it's supposed to just happen automatically. But it takes practice. It takes work. It takes messing it up and trying again. Practice sharing the word of God with others. Be a blessing and a gift. Pray God over others. It's a good, good thing. Tell people about God. I want to close with an appeal, with Moses' appeal, really, from Deuteronomy 30. I'm going to read it from the message. This is Moses. What he wants Israel to get into their minds and hearts and bodies before they move into the promised land. Think about it being an appeal from God to his people, and even an appeal for me to you as I'm talking to you about the word of God today. Resonate, church. This command that I'm commanding you today, it's not too much for you. It's not out of your reach. It's not on a high mountain. You don't have to get mountaineers to climb the peak and bring it down to your level and explain it before you can live it. And it's not way across the ocean. You don't have to send sailors out to get it and bring it back and then explain it before you can live it. No, the word is right here and now. It's here and now, as near as the tongue in your mouth and as near as the heart in your chest. Just do it. Just do it. Listen to God, love God, and live for God. We're going to take a brief moment in reflection, and I'm going to put these five application things back on the screen, and I just invite you to pick one that you want to focus on this week. Maybe you're a pro at all these things. There's still something you can lean into. Maybe they're all new to you. Don't pick all of them at once. Pick one. Take 30 seconds, 45 seconds to decide what you want to lean into this week and how you're going to do it, how you're going to structure your life for these things.